eyes didn't touch my eyes. Hey. I realized I'd forgotten his name. He realized I'd forgotten too.
Donovan.
Right. Sorry. Donovan. Don't look anywhere but in my eyes.
Okay.
His eyes went back to mine. It was obvious he was feeling nothing but uncomfortable at this point. I needed to change that. I kept my hands to myself and twirled my hair while locking eyes. I tried to make mine soft and vulnerable. My dirty hair crunched as I twisted it around my finger. Then I held back a sigh. This was the problem. I was relying on the tactics I normally fell back on in a romantic scene. Things that wouldn't work in my current make-upped state. I inched closer to him on the couch. He smelled like mint gum. If he had a piece in his mouth, he wasn't chewing it. He was perfectly still. I reached for his hand that was resting on his knee and slowly laced our fingers together. His fingertips were slightly calloused, and I wondered what he'd done to earn those. Yard work? Building? I used my thumb to draw circles on his palm. His body relaxed, sinking into the couch more, leaning closer to me. I leaned in as well, until my right shoulder touched his left. Then I let my eyes flicker over his face. He had tan, clear skin. His lips were a bit chapped, but full. The phone alarm went off, causing him to jump. His cheeks went pink as he reached for his phone. Perfect, I said, backing away. You felt something, right?
Sure.
I knew he had. He wouldn't have blushed otherwise. And what about me? Did it seem like I felt something?
Yes.
Well, thank you. That will be very helpful for tomorrow. And it would be. I hadn't tried the hand thing on Grant, and I'd make sure we were better about maintaining eye contact.
Did you?
Donovan asked. Did I what?
Did you feel something?
Had I? I'd been concentrating so hard on making him feel that I hadn't noticed. No, but that doesn't matter. Donovan picked up the packet off the table and handed it to me.
That was interesting. Now let's get to work.
Can I take off my makeup first?
So many excuses.
Okay, fine.
Pack it.
What's another hour being stifled by makeup? There was a knock on my door seconds before it swung open, and Faith came in carrying some pink pages. Faith was young, probably in her early 20s. She wore glasses and always had her hair pulled up into a messy bun. Revision for tomorrow's scenes. Really? I took the pages and scanned through my lines. They weren't much different, so I would be able to memorize the few changes easily. Noah said that you need to get something done to your nails tomorrow, too, so you need to be here a little earlier. Okay. Is there anything I can do for you? She asked, looking at Donovan like she was offering to kick him out. I had no idea she was so protective of me. It was tempting. I'm good. She left, and I glanced at Donovan. I didn't know him at all, but he didn't hide irritation well.
Hey, choir boy, you took the job.
I'm regretting it already.
I flashed him my stage smile.
You won't regret it for long. I grow on people.
Or he'd quit. Dancing Graves. Interior. The Graham Mansion. Day. Benjamin Scott tries to fight off a horde of angry zombies who have broken into the mansion. Several make it past him and find Scarlett and Evelyn hiding in the library. Scarlett takes the poker from the fireplace and attempts to hold them off, swinging it wildly all around. She connects with several, pushing them back for a while. Eventually, she is bitten. Evelyn escapes unharmed and finds Benjamin. Evelyn, Come quick. It might be too late. Benjamin.
Where is she? Where is Scarlet?
Evelyn. Come. Benjamin finds Scarlet unconscious in the library. He rushes to Lord Graham's lab and finds the most recent cure attempt and brings it back to Scarlet. He lifts her head and forces the liquid down her throat, then cradles her to his chest. Benjamin.
Don't leave me. Not like this.
5. I place the packet in my dad's hands. There. Now you can call off Boy Wonder. Where do you hire these people from anyway? Valedictorians are us.
Is he on track to become a valedictorian?
My guess is yes. He takes homework more seriously than any 17-year-old should. I wasn't even sure he was 17. He looked about my age, but he'd acted closer to my dad's.
Heaven forbid,
Dad said.
But no, like I said before, he goes to the school that sponsors your independent study. The school you'd go to if you actually went to school.
So the school recommended him. That made sense. For some reason, I had it in my mind that my dad had scoured the city to find the person who looked most like a tutor. If I went to school, I'd be going to the one by Mom's house. I didn't realize that would hurt his feelings, but I could tell by the look on his face that it did, which made me immediately regret saying it. I was acting like an ungrateful brat. I knew it was because I was tired and stressed, but I also knew it was because he was treating me like a third grader. My mom would have trusted me more had she been here, but like that third grader, I didn't admit my mistake. Instead, I mumbled, "Going to bed," and left him standing in the living room. My phone rang as I was pulling on my pajamas. Mom. Hello? Hello, my sweet girl. How are you? I immediately felt better at the sound of her voice. I didn't realize how much I missed her until that moment. Good, I said, climbing into bed.
Just good? She asked.
Well, I sat up and adjusted my body against the headboard, settling in to get her advice.
No, she said. Don't do that.
What?
Don't pull on the cords or the television might fall on you.
It took me 2 seconds to realize she was talking to Colby, my little brother.
Do you need to go save him from a television disaster?
Back to me, she said.
No, it's fine. He's 4. He knows better. He was trying to get his blanket and got the cords with it.
I see. Now, what were you saying? I started to ask about how to deal with my dad better, but stopped myself. That was between me and him. I didn't need to put her in the middle of it. We'd figure things out. So I asked, "Have I ever had a problem with chemistry?" My mom had spent many hours watching me from behind curtains or front row center.
"What do you mean, hun?
It's in the dryer, Sydney. I moved it over last night.
It stinks? It probably sat in the washing machine for 3 days then. I'll run them again in a minute."
A lamp on my desk was in the mode where it projected stars onto my ceiling. I mapped a constellation with my eyes while she continued talking to my sister.
"Mom, do you need to go?" I asked when she was quiet again.
"What? No. I want to talk to you." I knew she did, but it sounded like she was on edge. "How is everything? You doing okay? You sound busy."
"You have no idea. Bill just started a new case, and it's taking all his time, and I feel like I'm in the car 24/7. It was nice having you around to help. Plus, Colby and Sid miss you."
"I miss them, too."
"What am I saying?" Mom said. "I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I'm so happy for you. I'm dying up here thinking about how much fun you must be having."
"This is it.
Your big break. And with Grant James. You must be in heaven. Are you in heaven?
She didn't need more stress. She didn't need to know what people were saying about me online. She didn't need to know that my chemistry was off. After all, everything else seemed fine. I was a great zombie. And this opportunity felt like my mom's dream as much as mine sometimes, and I just wanted her to bask in it. She'd helped me get here.
Yes, Mom, it's amazing. You should come visit the set sometime. You'd love it.
She really would. It was amazing.
I will. That would be great. So great. I'll have to see when I can fit.
Colby, don't fall asleep right there, sweetie. You need to brush your teeth first.
Mom, sounds like bedtime routine is in full swing. I'll let you go. Thanks for calling me.
Okay, Lace, love you. Good night, she said.
Love you too. Good night. I hung up, then reached over and clicked off my light. I lay there staring at the dark ceiling for a while. I was exhausted, but my mind wouldn't let me sleep. I still gripped my phone in my hand, and I swiped across the screen, causing it to light up. I clicked on my contacts and pushed call.
Hello? Abby said when she answered. You know most people use chat these days, right? Would you rather me chat you?
No. It's good to hear from you.
Too late, I said. Now I know how you really feel.
Abby was always joking, so in reality, I wasn't worried.
How are things? She asked. Do you babysit? Do you have a baby I don't know about?
No. My mom could use a night out. I want to hire you.
You're sweet. Sure, I'll take your siblings out for a night. I won't even charge you.
You're the best.
Yes, I am, she said. How is Operation Making Friends on set going?
Good. I found out one of the actresses is in love with Grant, so I'm helping her out. You know, since I'm a notorious matchmaker.
Abby let out a scoffing sound. Notorious? You know you have to actually do something of note before you can be considered notorious.
Shh.
Are you basing this notoriety off me and Cooper? Because if I remember correctly, the plan you came up with didn't work at all. It's a miracle we even got together after everything that happened.
Shh. Notorious.
Anyway, moving on.
Thank you for watching my brother and sister. I owe you big time.
As in, you can give me a tour of a Hollywood movie set and let me meet some famous people? That kind of big time? Or like, you'll buy me a milkshake and call it even.
Do you want a tour of a movie set?
Who wouldn't? Then yes, come visit me. You will be impressed by my lack of fame and by all of Grant's fans.
I am always impressed by people who aren't famous. I can't wait.
I'll look at the schedule and try to find a day where we can actually spend some time together.
I can't wait.
And I'll introduce you to Grant, a real-life movie star.
Yes, please.
Dancing Graves. Interior. Lord Lucas's lab. Night. Benjamin relates the events that took place while Lord Lucas was away, pointing out where the vial that he had given to Scarlet was and what it looked like. Scarlet has been unconscious for 3 days and is in her bedroom, where Benjamin moved her after giving her the vial. Evelyn attends to her. Lord Lucas.
And how did she react after you administered it?
Benjamin.
Her breathing slowed. She seemed to relax.
Lord Lucas.
That's a good sign. I've never been able to give a dosage so quickly after a bite. Maybe it will make all the difference.
Benjamin.
We can only hope.
6.
One of my least favorite parts of working on this movie was the hours I had to spend getting my makeup done every day so I could look like a zombie, which was why I was thrilled when Leah applied it in record time. Not entirely sure what to do with my newfound free time, I wandered over to the set, where Grant and Amanda were finishing up a scene. They were standing under a large oak tree and making a plan about what to do if my change progressed further. I visualized the way I would move later, how I would creep toward them, what thoughts I needed to channel during the scene. Remy stood just behind the glow of lights, watching with his headphones on. Amanda was good. It was kind of ironic that her character was in love with Grant's character, seeing as how she liked him in real life, too. I wondered if those real feelings helped her act the scene better. I also wondered if the unrequited part of the script was true to real life as well. If it was, we needed to change that.
Good. Very good,
Remy yelled out at the scene break. He turned to me and beckoned me forward.
Okay, zombie girl. Get in there and remind your hunter why he hasn't killed you yet.
I joined Grant on set while the cameras and lights were moved into a new position. Amanda sat in a chair by the monitor, and Noah showed her a playback while Aaron looked over their shoulders. He seemed to be chiming in with suggestions. Noah threw an impatient look over his shoulder, not hiding what he thought of those ideas. I turned my attention back to Grant. You haven't killed me yet, because my father is on the verge of the real cure, and you really want to inherit his fortune when you marry me, I said, for only Grant to hear. He smiled. He was pacing, going from the tree to the headstone to a cart past the lights with garden tools on it, then back again, mumbling his lines under his breath. Remy was busy talking to a camera operator, so I snatched Grant's hand on his second pass and pulled him toward me. Do you see my eyes? I said. He tilted his head, like I'd said something surprising.
Yes, they're gorgeous.
Thanks, but more important, makeup-free, right? Don't look anywhere else today. We can do this.
Do you see my eyes?
He asked, bending down to my level. His eyes were even bluer up close. Yes, they're gorgeous, I said, mimicking him.
Most girls actually like to stare into them.
What?
You think it's me, he said. That trailer visit the other night. This. You think it's me?
Maybe. I thought it was both of us. He leaned in even closer, his stare becoming a smolder, showing just how easy he could turn it on.
It's not.
Oh.
We good?
He asked. Yes, we're good, I said. Only we weren't. He had me flustered now, second-guessing myself. I had planned to do the things I'd practiced with Donovan the day before. But if I was the one who wasn't projecting chemistry, those things wouldn't help me. We started in on the scene.
Cut!
Remy yelled in the middle of a take.
What's that?
He pointed right at me. What? Had I said a line wrong? It wouldn't have surprised me. I felt off. He stepped forward, his finger still extended until he reached me and his finger met my arm. I looked at where he was pointing to see a long rip in my blouse. There were a lot of rips in my shirt, but I too recognized this as a new one, one that hadn't been there in any other scene, which was a bad thing. It would stand out if two scenes were back-to-back, one with the rip and one without. I don't know how that got there, I said. There's no way I wouldn't have heard that long of a fabric rip. Weird.
Wardrobe!
He bellowed, and I tried not to cringe. I'll go get a backup, Faith said. She took longer than Remy wanted. I could tell by his constant sighing. But when she returned, he said,
Way to be on top of things, Faith.
As she helped me exchange shirts, I said, Thanks. She gave me a quick nod, and then we continued. I left the set for the second day in a row frustrated that nothing had changed. The chemistry was still off. Remy had made sure to let us know, Back in my trailer after yanking off my corset, I pulled out my laptop and Googled Amanda Roth's best kissing scenes. A whole list came up. I clicked on the first one. 8 minutes later, I had watched the first three. She was amazing. The chemistry she created crackled through my computer screen. I was so engrossed in figuring out how she was pulling it off that I didn't realize someone had come into my trailer until he cleared his throat. I pushed pause and looked up to see Donovan standing there.
I knocked, he said.
I finished the packet yesterday, I responded.
You finished one of the three. That's 1/3.
Look at you, using your tutoring skills in everyday conversations.
It's a talent.
He stepped all the way inside and shut the door.
You should include that in your bio for sure.
My bio?
Right. You probably don't have a bio. I'll write one for you. Donovan loves homework, haircuts, and harmonizing.
You know I don't actually sing. Right?
Let's not argue about semantics.
He gestured toward my face.
Is Ken wear zombie makeup 12 hours straight in your bio?
I had forgotten I was still wearing it.
I'm trying to become the character.
I touched my cheek. Has it been 12 hours?
According to the call sheet your dad sends me every day.
It's not always accurate, I said. Just giving you a fair warning.
Are you already working on your next packet?
What?
He nodded at my laptop.
Oh, no.
I had more important things to work on. I slid down the couch, indicating he should sit. He did.
But I am studying.
I pushed play on the scene I had paused. He watched for several minutes in complete silence as Amanda went from a heartfelt monologue to making out with someone. Isn't she amazing? I asked.
I'm confused.
I pointed to Amanda. This is an actress in this movie. She's going to teach me how she does this.
How she does what?
I have to convince audiences everywhere that a zombie loves a zombie hunter.
So far, it's not happening. So far, the only thing future viewers care about is that I'm not someone else.
How do you know this?
The internet.
The internet?
Well, people on the internet. Mainly Grant's fans.
You know what a wise philosopher once said?
He responded.
What?
You have to shake it off. Shake, shake, shake it off.
I smiled a little. He did know how to tell a joke. Because the haters are gonna hate.
He returned my smile, which softened all his seriousness.
Exactly.
He looked around, apparently having humored me long enough. His serious face back again.
Do you know where your other two packets are?
I stared at him for a moment. He wasn't at all enamored by the fact that he was on a movie set or talking to an actress.
What?
He asked, meeting my stare.
Nothing.
I went to the cabinet, picked up a stack of papers, and plopped them on the table in front of him. Then I went back to watching another one of Amanda's videos.
These aren't the packets,
he said.
They're in there somewhere.
What is this?
I turned my head sideways to look.
Oh, that's my script.
I held out my hand, but he kept flipping pages.
What does INT and EXT mean?
Those are the scene details, interior and exterior. INT means it's an inside scene, and EXT means it's outside. And then this part is where specifically each scene takes place, and then what time of day. I pointed at the different words. It's mainly notes for the lighting people. He nodded and continued to read.
Do you really have to say this stuff?
No, I just have to read it, then make up whatever I really want to say.
My heart aches to be with you, but soon you will only want flesh?
I don't have to say that part. Grant says that.
Grant James.
He said it as a fact, not as a question, so he obviously already knew the answer.
You want to meet him? I could introduce you, I said.
It was obvious I needed to get on my tutor's good side so he'd relax a bit. He may not have cared who I was, because I was nobody yet, but everyone knew Grant.
I don't want to meet him.
You don't?
Everyone wanted to meet Grant James.
He asked to say the words, I wish I could feed your hunger with only my lips.
I took the script from him.
You just made that up.
Close enough,
he said.
No more mocking. Look, I will work out a deal with you. I will do your packet.
Your packet.
If you do something for me.
What does that mean?
He tapped the top of the computer.
You're not going to try to kiss me again, are you?
Ha! I did not try to kiss you yesterday. I accomplished exactly what I needed to. No more, no less. If I had wanted to kiss you, I wouldn't have had to try.
When I could tell he didn't find that amusing, by the way his face darkened, I added, But don't worry, I'm not into distractions like that. I don't date.
And I don't date actresses, so I guess we're clear on our roles here.
I stopped, sidetracked.
You don't date actresses? Did one actress in particular cause this universal ban? If so, tell the story. It must be a good one.
He picked up my packet and held it up, dismissing my question.
What's the deal, then?
Right, the deal. I didn't need Donovan's dating history anyway. I was trying to spend less time with him, not bond with him. It wasn't Donovan in particular. It was the interruptions. I wanted to do my homework on my own timetable, when I knew I wasn't working on a scene or studying my performance. I wanted to do it in bits and pieces, not dedicate hours at a time to it.
I will do the packet if you let me check in with you remotely.
Remotely?
Yes. Instead of coming in here, I text you a picture of my completed pages. Then when I'm done, I leave the packet at the front gate for you to deliver to school. And what my dad doesn't know won't hurt him.
He studied my face for a moment, and I resisted the urge to start peeling away at the zombie makeup.
Deal,
he said. I stopped by Amanda's trailer on my way out for the day. She let me inside and then went to the microwave, where she pushed the start button. So, I said, I think I need some help with my chemistry after all.
Yeah?
Yes. I watched some of your soap opera scenes, and you're really good.
Thanks. Of course I'll give you some tips. But for the record, I don't think it's all you. I was watching your scene today, and Grant's not his normal self.
I took a relieved breath and sank to her couch. Thank you for saying that. He made me feel like it was all me.
He has a lot riding on this movie. His last Heath Hall movie tanked. And the reviews have really gotten in his head, especially that one that went viral.
Heath Hall was the name of the spy that Grant played in a series of action movies. It was a role he had made famous, or the role that had made him famous. It was hard to separate the two.
This is about a bad review, I asked. Not just a bad review, she said. A scathing, viral one that was retweeted more times than any of his good reviews have ever been. And it won't go away. It keeps resurfacing.
I cringed. I knew which review she was talking about. Grant James goes down in flames. There had even been a meme made of it. A picture of Grant's handsome face contorted in a scream and engulfed in flames. The meme was now used in completely unrelated conversations.
I thought he had more confidence than that. Most of the time he does. Sometimes he doesn't.
I could understand that.
Why did he choose this movie then if he feels he needs to redeem his career?
Shouldn't he be doing another one of his Heath Hall high-budget films?
He's hoping fans will get behind a campy horror movie with heart versus his cold action-driven movies. We need to figure out how to help him get past this bad review, because I can give you all the tips in the world, but if he's not on board too, it's not going to help. We should play that Taylor Swift song for him, I said, thinking about what Donovan had told me earlier and smiling despite myself. What? The microwave beeped and she took out a mug full of water, then dipped a tea bag into it and sat down next to me. Never mind, inside joke. Okay, so, chemistry on camera. My first tip that always leads to loads of chemistry is to imagine your co-star, Grant in this case, as the guy you really like. The guy I really like? I don't really like anyone. Okay, then someone you used to like. Remember and draw on the feelings you had at the height of liking someone. Right. She narrowed her eyes and studied my face. Wait. I know you said you didn't date, but have you never dated? You've never been in love before? No.
Is that a question?
No, it's not. I've kissed a lot of co-stars in theater, but I've never been in love. I had been focused on this singular goal since the sixth grade, and I'd seen what boys could do to normally rational people. Take over their every waking thought. I was too busy making my dreams happen. I had the rest of my life to figure out the love part.
Wow. Well, I guess you need to work on your personal life. You're 17 years old and starring in a movie, but you've never been in love? Between you and Grant, this is going to be harder than I thought.
But I'm really good at pretending. I've acted a lot of ways I've never personally felt before.
True.
I looked down at my hands and back at her. Amanda?
Yes.
Thanks for helping me. I had needed a friend on set. I hadn't realized how much until then. Just sitting there talking with her was making all the difference in the world.
Of course, she said. Anytime.
Dancing Graves. Interior. Scarlett's bedroom. Early evening. Benjamin Scott waits impatiently near a still unconscious Scarlett, hopeful that the experimental cure might have an effect, even though he begins to lose hope as each day passes. She starts to stir and wakes. She takes in her surroundings. Obviously not fully herself, but not fully gone either. He rushes to her side and takes her hand. Evelyn waits in the corner, worried and uncertain. Benjamin.
Scarlett, talk to me.
Scarlett tries to speak, but nothing comes out. Her eyes widen in worry. Benjamin.
Don't worry, my love. You will be fine. Your father will fix everything. I think we've slowed down the transformation. Your heart never stopped.
Evelyn.
Do you understand us, Scar?
Scarlett nods. Benjamin.
Thank goodness. I can't lose you now.
7. I opened my eyes, and I knew something was off. The lighting in my room was too bright, and I was hot. I kicked off my covers, then picked up my phone off the nightstand. The time showed it was 7 a.m. My phone alarm, the one that had worked every morning for the last week, hadn't gone off. Had I disabled it? I had 5 text messages from Leah. I shot out of bed. Call was at 8, but I would barely make it to location by then, let alone be in full makeup. I brushed my teeth and ran for the door, hoping there weren't too many overly observant photographers today. My dad sat on a bar stool in the kitchen, his laptop open, a bowl of cereal next to him.
"Don't you want to eat before you leave?"
he asked. "No, I overslept."
"I noticed."
My hand was on the door, and I stopped and turned. "You knew what time my call was this morning. Why didn't you wake me?"
"Because I figured you could use the extra sleep. You're not getting enough."
My mouth dropped open. "You didn't turn off my alarm, did you?"
"Of course not. I'm sure that was your overly tired subconscious."
I was angry, but had zero time to discuss this with him right now. "If that happens again, please wake up both my conscious and my subconscious." He gave me a wave of agreement, and I ran out the door. I texted Leah. "Running late. Sorry." "I'm so sorry," I said when I arrived breathless to Leah's station. She checked her watch, which told her we had 15 minutes until call. And makeup took about 90. "It's fine. Should I go tell Remy or Noah not to wait on me?" "No. Sometimes they're running late. If they are, they won't even realize that you were too. If they're not, they'll know we're not ready soon enough." They were not running late. Noah was at our station at 5 minutes to call.
"You don't look ready," he said, wearing his normal scowl.
I went to open my mouth to explain when Leah said, "Sorry, makeup is giving me issues this morning. Tell Remy it will be another hour."
"He won't be happy."
"Art takes time," she said. When Noah left, I said, "You didn't have to do that. It was my fault." She waved something that resembled a small paintbrush at me. "It's fine." "Thank you," I said. "Hold still," she directed, as she pressed the pre-made section onto my cheek. "What happened anyway? Why so late?" "Apparently I slept through my alarm. I was up late doing homework." "And you finished it?" "No, actually. I fell asleep. There might be some numbers inked onto my forehead." I rubbed at my forehead as if that was a real possibility. "But I let a guy into your trailer the other day who said he was your tutor. Donovan? Isn't having a tutor supposed to make homework faster?" "Well, it would if I used him. I kind of made him leave." "Why would you do that? He seemed really nice. And cute, too." "He is. Cute, I mean. I'm not sure if he's nice. He acts like a dad number two, so I've been treating him like that." She laughed. "Your dad's not so bad. You've met him. You know how overprotective he is." She waved her hand through the air like that shouldn't bother me. "The point is, I don't need another dad. The one I have is already doubling up. But I really thought I could do the work on my own. I hardly get any alone time, and I needed it yesterday. And I can do the work on my own, except the math. The math is hard." "So, thinking about your life choices."
"Yeah, yeah. Send the tutor away after I do math next time."
"It's good to learn from our mistakes." An hour later, I walked on set, then realized I was holding my phone. I hadn't had time to stop by my trailer in my rush this morning. I panicked, but Faith held out her hand with a smile. "Thank you," I whispered. She tucked it into her pocket, and I joined Grant.
"Oversleep this morning?" he asked.
My eyes shot to Remy, who was busy inspecting a headstone with the art director. This was our last day at the cemetery. Tonight, everything would be packed up and moved to a church. "How did you know I was late?"
"Because Leah did my makeup at a time when she should have been doing yours."
"How much mascara does she use to get your lashes that long?" He let out a faux gasp.
"This is all me, baby."
Despite his jokey tone, he was being honest. He had long eyelashes, which I knew weren't enhanced. He probably only got a dusting of foundation and a bit of eyeliner, and a whole lot of hair gel.
"What's your favorite part about this job?" I asked.
"About this particular acting job, or acting in general?"
"This one." Even though Amanda said he'd taken the job to win back some fans and redeem his reputation, I wondered if that was the only reason. His salary was probably half the budget, but it still couldn't have been anything close to what he was used to.
"You, of course."
He winked. I rolled my eyes. "You say that to all your co-stars."
"And I mean it every time."
I laughed, then stopped and lightly touched my face.
"Don't make me laugh. You're going to make my chin fall off again."
"That wouldn't be my fault. That would be Leah's. Your chin should be more secure than that."
"My chin is very secure."
Remy raised his voice so everyone could hear.
"Who broke the headstone?"
"The headstone?"
Grant asked.
"A big chunk of it is missing," he said.
The fake headstone was obviously styrofoam or something, because the part he was referring to was now white, and someone with paints was adding gray to it.
"People," he said. "Be careful on set."
He looked at me when he said this for some reason. I just smiled, hoping to give him a positive image to associate with me. I realized too late that with my zombie face on, it would be a creepy sight. Remy walked over the mound of dirt and then stopped in front of us.
"You two ready?" "For over an hour now," Grant said.
"Yes," Remy said. "Sorry about that. Makeup mishap."
Grant wiggled his eyebrows at me. I just nodded at Remy. He picked up my hand and inspected my modified nails.
"Very undead, right?"
he asked with a smile.
"I like them," I said.
"Good. Let's roll then," Remy said.
2 hours passed, and Remy yelled out,
"Cut!"
He marched past a camera operator, then came to stand in front of me. He studied my face carefully, then waved his hand in front of it.
"I can't see any emotion."
Grant lifted a finger.
"May I suggest a little less makeup? For this scene, she's only a partially turned zombie after all."
Remy waved his hand around my face.
"Leah, we can work on that, yes?"
he asked, as if she'd been following along with the conversation. And maybe she had, because she nodded from behind the monitor and said, "Of course."
"Okay, then work on that. And quickly. We don't have much time left here."
I pressed my phone to my ear as I walked to my trailer.
"Tell me something nice about me."
Abby laughed.
"You need an ego boost?"
"Yes, a big one."
"You are the world's greatest actress," she said.
"Something sincere." Her laughter died down.
"I'm sorry. I don't mean to make light of this. I can tell your confidence is shot. You really are amazing. I still remember that story you made up inside that empty church last summer. I thought you were speaking about your own life. That's how believable it was."
"You're good at this," I said. "How much would I have to pay you to come and sit in my dressing room and write me compliments all day long?"
"I'd totally do that for free."
"You're hired." I rounded a corner, my trailer in view.
"What are you up to tonight?"
"The homecoming game."
"Football? You're going to a football game? I didn't know that was your kind of thing."
"I had to take over your social calendar when you left." The last homecoming game of my high school career was happening tonight.
"I guess school events still go on without me, huh?"
A tug of sadness surprised me. Not that things happened without me, but that I was missing them.
"I know, shocking."
I opened my dressing room door and nearly jumped out of my skin when I saw Donovan sitting there, head leaned over a book.
"We had a deal." What? Abby asked. Nothing. I'll call you later. He held up his hands.
Leah called.
All my anger was diffused immediately. She was the nicest person ever. Leah has your number?
I had to give it to the security people the first day I checked in.
Oh, right. What did Leah say?
Something about how math nearly ruined your life.
It's true. Math is a jerk. He smiled, and I felt guilty. Math wasn't a jerk, but I certainly had been.
Donovan was just trying to do his job.
And even though he was better than my past tutors at not letting me get away with things, I was still making it very difficult for him with my completely negative attitude. I feel like we got off on the wrong foot, I said. I'm sorry. I've been under a lot of pressure, and homework has been an added stress. Plus my dad. I trailed off. He didn't need to know that my dad didn't care if I succeeded or failed at this job.
We can try a new foot today,
Donovan said. I raised a fist in the air. Yes to new feet.
Yes to finishing this packet, so your dad stops texting me for updates.
I'm sorry. So I wasn't the only one he was bugging. A new wave of frustration hit me. I needed to have a real talk with my dad. Eventually. 8. 90 minutes later, packet 2 was finished, and Donovan was now explaining an equation in packet 3.
And then,
he said,
the numbers decided to stop trying to solve each other and just get along.
Uh-huh, I said, picking at a loose piece of latex on my cheek. I had managed to quickly change out of my costume, not wanting to mess it up, but this was the third day in a row I hadn't taken off my makeup right away.
Did you hear what I said?
What?
You are distracted.
I'm thinking about something my friend Abby said earlier.
Was it about math?
It wasn't. It was about this thing I used to do to help me get out of a rut. It was something I hadn't done at all since I'd been here, and I knew I needed to loosen up, to get out of my own head. It would hopefully help me project chemistry on set. We'd always called them perspective outings. I wished I could call Kara and Abby and beg them to go on one with me, but they were 4 hours away. I'd have to make do with who I had, Grant and Amanda. I wondered if they'd go along with it. There was only one way to find out. Can we take a break? I asked. After an hour and a half, my brain can't process new info anyway. He shoved his notebook and pencil in his open backpack.
Sure.
You don't have to stick around if you need to go.
You don't want to finish your last packet after this break?
Not really. I offered him my best smile. He seemed disappointed in my lack of motivation. But I had just done 90 minutes worth of homework. That had to count for something. I sighed. Fine. Maybe. If this plan doesn't work out. Follow me. Surprisingly, he did. I led him through the large parking lot, where the set was being packed away into vans and trailers. The sun was on its way down, and had turned the clouds that streaked the sky pink and orange, like paints on a canvas. We stopped by Amanda's trailer first. She answered the door. Hey, want to go on a trip with us? I asked. Who is us? She looked Donovan up and down. This is Donovan. Donovan? Amanda, I said. They exchanged hellos. Already working on the assignment I gave you? She said with a smirk. You're fast. What? I returned, genuinely confused. Then, all at once, I remembered her telling me that in order to have chemistry on set, I needed to imagine someone I liked offset. No. Really, no. Even if I had been trying to form a connection with someone, which I wasn't, it wouldn't be with Donovan. He was too uptight and serious and boring.
Amanda just shrugged, then held up some pages.
I can't go anywhere. I have to work on my scene for tomorrow. I'm not ready. Faith gave me some notes.
Faith gave you notes? Like, actual handwritten notes? She never gives me notes.
She only ever brought me dialogue changes.
Because you're already perfect.
Ha! Yeah, right.
You have your phone on you?
Yes. Why? I asked. She held out her hand. I unlocked it and placed my phone in her upturned palm. She typed something into it, then handed it back. I looked at the screen. She had entered her phone number under the name Amanda the Beautiful One Roth.
That's for a report later. You two have fun, she said,
with a look like this was more than it was.
And you're welcome.
I just sighed as she shut the door.
What was that all about?
Donovan asked.
Nothing, I said. Absolutely nothing.
I led him toward Grant's trailer.
Donovan looked out over the cemetery.
Is it scary to sleep here at night?
I don't sleep here. I have to go home every night.
Why?
I'm under 18. I could sleep here if my dad stayed with me or signed the waiver. But he won't.
You actually want to sleep here?
He was still taking in the expanse of the headstones.
Absolutely.
In the distance, behind a chain-link fence, I could see Grant's van still holding big signs. I wondered if one of those sign holders was the one who had taken my makeup-less picture and labeled me as undead.
No Lacey Barnes signs today,
Donovan said,
noticing them as well.
You can come be my fanboy tomorrow. Bring a bright-colored sign. Or maybe a big cutout of my head. That seems more productive than this homework stuff, I said.
Don't tempt me.
A new set of security guards stood at the barricades to Grant's trailer.
Hi, I said, stopping in front of them. Where are Duncan and Phil?
Their shift starts at 8.
Oh, we need to see Grant.
I told you I didn't need to meet him,
Donovan mumbled beside me. I lowered my brow.
He had been serious about that? He really didn't want to meet Grant? Apparently he wasn't swayed by fame at all. That was new and interesting.
He asked not to be disturbed,
one of the guards said.
But he didn't mean me, I said.
He meant everyone, Ms. Barnes.
Okay, fine. Can you at least give him a message for me?
Sure.
Will you tell him that I need to go on an outing with him to look for my muse?
The guard leveled me with a hard stare, as if I had just spoken a foreign language and he was waiting for me to translate.
That's all, I said. He'll get it.
Okay.
Oh, and tell him I'll be in my trailer.
I started to back away. No, actually, give him my cell number. I patted my pockets and then looked around on the ground as if a piece of paper would magically materialize because I wished for it. Donovan held one out for me.
Ah, a true Boy Scout, I said, taking it.
Thanks. Then he handed me a pen. I wrote down my cell and gave it to the security guard. Because I won't be in my dressing room.
Got it,
he said.
Where will you be?
Donovan asked as we walked away.
Finding my muse.
I met his eyes. I couldn't do this alone. I had to have someone with me to play off of.
With you, apparently.
We have to find a place I've never been before, I said, after we walked back through the parking lot, past another set of security guards at the entrance to the cemetery, and to a car parked on the street. Donovan stopped beside it, which I assumed meant it was his. Several long strips of black duct tape were holding the bumper on.
We'll take my car, I said,
pointing to my beautiful cherry red Mustang down the street.
Have you ever been in a 10-year-old car?
He asked.
That can be the first new place you experience today.
He opened the door, raised his eyebrows at me, then climbed inside. He was so frustrating. I went around the back to the passenger side and slid into the seat. I have been in a 10-year-old car. Do you think I'm some snob or something? He paused for one beat, then said,
Yes.
I smacked his arm and he laughed. I'm not, I said. I live in a small 2-bedroom apartment with my dad.
But that's only because you're down here temporarily. Where do you normally live?
He had me there. I wasn't sure how he knew this, but he did. In a house, was all I answered. My stepdad was a high-powered attorney on the Central Coast. He had his own firm and everything. So, yeah, when I lived with my mom, we lived in a nice house on the beach. And yes, I owned a brand new car. But I bought it myself with television money. So I wasn't that snobby. He didn't ask me to expand on my answer. What about you? You live in Southern California. Maybe you're the spoiled one.
Possibly,
was all he said. I couldn't read him well enough yet to know if that was sarcasm or not. He could deliver a line without attaching any emotion to it. It was actually quite impressive. And annoying. He turned the key in the ignition. Loud music with heavy electric guitar sounds blasted from his radio, and he quickly turned it off. Really? I said. Choir boy likes heavy metal?
I'm not as straight-laced as I seem after all, he said.
Maybe he wasn't.
Where to?
He asked. That was the million-dollar question. I wasn't from around here, so I wasn't sure. Do you have any abandoned buildings close by?
We're going to trespass?
What was that you said about straight-laced? He tightened his grip on the wheel and backed out of the parking stall. What is this? I asked. Donovan had stopped the car in the shadow of a 3-story building.
It used to be an old folks' home. No, it's nothing, obviously.
I opened the car door to get a look that wasn't through dirt-streaked windows. The building was boarded up, but not tightly, so hopefully the windows would let in some of the light from outside. The parking lot was completely empty. Cracked and crumbling parking curbs the only other thing besides Donovan's car. Let's go see if there's a way inside, I said. He took a deep breath, but didn't argue. We walked the perimeter of the entire building, over dried weeds, around a dumpster in the back filled with various things people had apparently dropped here so they didn't have to pay or drive to the city dump. A floor lamp, a mattress. Is that a giant dice?
Looks like it, he said.
Why would anyone throw that away? He chuckled.
You could take it home.
Who knows where it's been?
In a dumpster, behind an abandoned old folks' home.
I tugged on the brown metal door to the building. It was locked tight. The window next to it had a board across it that was hanging by just one nail. I pulled at the board, and it easily fell to the ground with a clatter. I wiggled my eyebrows at Donovan.
Is that a good thing?
He asked.
Because there's just a locked window behind it.
He knocked on the glass as if to show me it was solid. I pushed on it and tried to slide it over. Sometimes the windows on old buildings were flexible. And I was right. It was. It popped a little, then slid with the applied pressure.
Are you sure you're just an actress?
He asked.
And not some cat burglar?
Cat burglar? Do people say that? Do people even say burglar without adding the cat?
What would you call this, then?
Not cat burglary. I climbed in the window first, perching on the frame and then jumping down. Much like a cat. He didn't say anything, but it was clear what he was thinking. Shut up, I said. He chuckled, then climbed through behind me.
I still don't